Good evening. For those who don't know, my name is Grant. I live in Lviv, Ukraine. I've been there for about 3 years, and I've been visiting Baltimore. It's such a refreshing time whenever you get back and spend time with the body in this church. And been here for about 2 months now, and speaking personally, as a missionary, you come back, and sometimes you sit, like, in the back row, and you're just, like, praying to God, don't ask me to come up and speak. And I leave next week, and of course, I got that fateful text from Jen Lynch, looked at my phone, and I thought, she never texts me for anything. Never to say, hi, how's it going, good to see ya. It's really been great having you back in Baltimore. Thanks for coming to my husband's games on Monday night. No, it was Pastor Schaller wants you to speak. Are you here on the 23rd? And, you know, it's like, actually, I'm not. I won't be here. Okay, well, can you do it this Wednesday? So I thought I would be sick today, but by the grace of God, I'm not. So I'm in Lviv, Ukraine. It's in Eastern Europe, for those who might not know. And just thinking about the life there, living, I don't know how many have lived on the mission field, especially in an interesting place. I'm really looking forward to getting to heaven and talking to Job and wondering if after his trials, he's just sitting there and thinking, you know what? This is fun. Everything that we've been through, it's been crazy. I've suffered. But this life has been fun. It's been interesting. And it always is with God. I guarantee if you walk by faith, your life will be very interesting. And God will bless you. And that's a little thing of how I think about my life in Ukraine. Sometimes you're just like, what am I doing here? This problem happened. That problem happened. I should just go back to Baltimore. It's very comfortable there. But then after everything is resolved, it turns into a pretty good story. And God's redemption shines through, most of it. All right, so that's a little bit of who I am. And before I speak about what I would like to share, I just would like to say what I've been blessed by within the past few weeks, actually. I think Zane was the one that spoke Sunday morning. And towards the end of his message, he said, we're just enjoying God. We're just enjoying God. He was talking about his trip to Michigan. And isn't it great that we can just enjoy God? Lviv, Ukraine, Beijing, China, Seoul, South Korea, South Africa, Lima, Peru. We can enjoy God there. And that's a great thought, isn't it? Just think about that. I can enjoy God. But let's look. In Psalm 149, in verse 4, it says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Not only do we enjoy God, but God enjoys us. Wow, us. God enjoys Grant Sutton. Wow, that's crazy. He has grace, doesn't he? For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Wow, that's so powerful. And then something else that's blessed me is Pastor Schaller said, if we can focus on what we have and not what we don't have, that's been in his messages with the love, what love is and what love is not. If we can just focus on what we have, then life would be so easy, wouldn't it? Life would be a piece of cake. I have, well, okay, so why? Because I have God. Does anything else matter? No, I have God. I have salvation. I have a Father who loves me. You know, I don't have a broken down car. I don't have a broken home. I haven't lost a job. Maybe I have. But I have God through all of that. And if we can learn to do that, life would be a piece of cake. But it's hard, isn't it? It's tough. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's something that as a human being, maybe as a man especially, we struggle with. In chapter 5, I'll just read a few verses. Verse 5, 6, 7, 5, 6, and 7. All right. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Wow, pride is like such a tough thing, isn't it? And I've been thinking about this in my mind. Can a proud person truly know love? Can a proud person who exalts themselves so high, can they truly understand what love is? And I'm still waiting for the answer. I don't know. But I think about our Savior. If our Savior was so proud, would he have come to earth as a human and sacrificed his own life for us? Is that something a proud person, like think about a king or a president. Are they the first line of defense? Are they the ones that say, you know what? My people need me. I will go and I will give my life for them. Normally, no, but our God did, our King did, our Father did. And if we think about pride, it's really connected a lot to our ability, what we can do. I can slam dunk a basketball. How many of you think I can slam dunk a basketball? Nobody. Yeah, I cannot. I just lied to you. I cannot slam dunk a basketball. That is not one of my abilities. But I can do many other things. And it's so easy for me to live a daily life and talk to people and say, oh yeah, well I can do that and I did that and I've done that and I'm so proud of myself. And I did it without God. I did it without God. I don't need him. I am a very successful businessman. And I didn't talk to God about it at all. It reminds me of in James, Pastor Schaller was also speaking about, I will go to that city, I will buy and sell, and I will become rich. Yeah, but is that what God wants? Is that God's plan? Is that his will for my life? Maybe not. Maybe I am thinking in myself, in my abilities, and what I can do, and I leave God out of the equation. But let's look, okay, John 15. John 15, 5, it talks about God being the vine and we are the branches. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Wow. That's what you can do with yourself. Go for it. You want to live independently, apart from God? Go for it. God is like, hey, I have a will for you, but if you want to just live like hell, go for it. But I have a perfect plan for you, and if you live in me, I will bless you. And in Philippians 4:13, we know that with Christ, we can do all things. So as pride, let's think about the ability and where does our ability come from. We have two options, ability of the old man, ability of Adam, or the ability of our God. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I will choose the ability of my God because he is far greater than the ability of Adam. Don't you think so? Amen. And we shouldn't be concerned with the ability of Adam. Because right here in John 15, it'll be burned. everything that I can do in myself, that I can do in my old man, it will just be gone. But the things that are of God are eternal. That's the only thing that matters in my life. And we can think about of anybody that had the right to be proud, of anybody, it was Christ. Anybody that had the right. Think about him in the wilderness, and the devil is tempting him. The devil is tempting Jesus, and Jesus, he could do anything that he wanted. He could change that rock, those rocks into bread. But did he have the authority from God? Did he have the authority from God to do it? No, God did not give him the authority to do that. He had the ability. I have the ability to sin. But does God give me the authority to do it? He doesn't. And thank God, we have the power to say no to sin, to no to pride. And the thing that Jesus goes back to when he's being tempted is that it is written. It is written. I know that we struggle personally. I struggle a lot. And Satan can be right there with me. And a good way to get through it is just say, you know what? It is written. It is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So we have two options. Live in the old man. We can be prideful. Or live with God and enjoy it. Enjoy God. God is so enjoyable. He is so enjoyable. And if you really experience it, and it's not, then it's not even a competition. You know, it's like I could want the comfort of life in America with my family, with my friends, with my cars, my house. But God has called me to seek that which is lost. And for those who live in Baltimore, do it. Go for it. There's Lost right here down the street. This great summer harvest in Baltimore. Yeah, let's do it. We have an almighty God. He has all power. And he has given us that authority as well. So thank you for this time. For those of you that have good memories, please pray for Ukraine. It's really a tough time right now there for the people, for the churches. And just pray specifically for our ministry for Bible college this year. We will be jump-starting a fresh Bible college, and pray for students and people that have the desire to learn God's word in their heart. So, amen. Thank you.
All right, if you could stand, please. Get ready for our message. Pastor Mike Plunkett, and we won't say where he's from. We'll let him do that. Even though Pastor Shabelli always blows the cover of you guys all the time. But it's been a great night for Mrs. Plunkett, huh? Where is April? It's been a great night. Her son leads the songs and her husband's doing the preaching, right? It's enjoyable. Pastor Mike.
Okay. Thanks, Pastor Steve. Let's turn to just read a couple of verses. John chapter 1. Starting in verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this Wednesday evening. And just thank you for bringing us together to focus and to fellowship with you. Just thank you for what we just heard. And that word that we heard, enjoying you and the music tonight. Just bless our time now. Just give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Just like to turn to where our passage was. This is an interesting conversation here, a very quick one. And Jesus meets Peter, and basically, upon meeting him, he says, "I'm changing your name. You know, I'm changing your name. You will be called Cephas from now on." It's an interesting, if you've ever met a stranger and, you know, you sit down and say, you know what? I don't like Mike, you know, or I think you should be something else. You should be John. And that was your, you know, that's what they do. It's kind of an interesting first meeting up. But then in Matthew 4, I like to turn there. We see basically the second recorded conversation. And starting in verse 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." So this is pretty remarkable, isn't it? Isn't this something? You just kind of in your mind you wonder what happened in these meetings with Jesus, with these disciples. What kind of maybe words were exchanged? What kind of connection happened? Because Jesus walks by them here. And then what happens? He says, "Follow me." And what do? They put everything down and they go. They just leave it, and they leave it for good. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that Jesus just walked by? He says, "Come with me, follow me." And they just put everything down. No questions, no asking questions. Where are we going? Where is this going to take me? You know, can I come back? There's no record of that. It's just, we're just going, and you're coming with me. What an invitation that is. What an amazing opportunity that was for those disciples. And what a step of faith they took. Because, you know, they were probably leaving a multi-generational business right there. I mean, how many generations maybe in Peter's family, in Andrew's family, I mean, all of these guys, how many generations of fishermen do you think there were? There could have been, you know, many, many generations of just this bit. And then it's like, okay, it's your turn. You're learning the trade. you know, and John and James are with their dad right there. And then Jesus comes by, and then they put it down and they go. They just leave. Isn't that amazing? They just leave. What caused them to make that step of faith? What allowed them to make that amazing decision? And tonight, I was thinking for a couple minutes, just very simple, a very simple concept, and that is, you know, they trusted Christ, and Christ was became their security. They left all of their regular security that they had, their financial security, maybe their family security. They left everything right there, and they were willing to just place everything on the person of Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. But that's an amazing thing that I think all of us have the opportunity, not necessarily to do what they did, but and there's many people in this room that have listened to the Savior's voice and have followed him. And there are people, many people in this room, I believe, that have just heard his voice and put down their nets, whatever the nets were, and said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. That's an amazing thing. How is that possible? It's possible if Christ is our security. If Christ is our security. Because I think the problem is there's so many attachments that we can have. There can be attachments of maybe financial security that cause us to maybe second guess the voice of God speaking to us and a leading of God in our life. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had these like considerations when you heard Christ speak to you? I know I have. Perhaps, you know, there are even security and friendships. We're in a place where we have a lot of friends and we have a lot of emotional security wherever we are, and there's these attachments that we have to this security. And when Jesus walks by, we hear the voice, but it's kind of hard to let go of that security and those attachments. Have you ever experienced that? I mean, these things can be real. These things can be real, and I understand them. But I think God wants us to be free from anything other than having him being our refuge, having him being our hope, having him being our life, having him being our security. He wants himself to be our security. And if he is, if we are called to, a church, and maybe even called to a business, called to work in a business, called to start a business, called to be a doctor, called to be a lawyer. If Christ is our security, we will feel and sense and experience the amazing, abundant life in that call that he has for us. And we won't be attached to it. You know, I think of a good friend, that we saw a couple times this year in Asia. And that was Dr. Chung and his wife, Natalie. And, you know, he's in Japan. You know, he's in Japan and he is just doing an amazing work there. You know, he has a vision for Japan. He loves the Japanese. And he just was not attached to anything here emotionally. Christ was his security. And he just said, let's do this and see what the Lord will do. And I think if Christ is our security in every way, whether it's emotionally, whether it's maybe in our finances, maybe in certain deep areas of our soul, if Christ is our security, we can just be free to follow him wherever he might say. And it might be here, or it might be somewhere else, but it really doesn't matter, because what matters is we are following him. We are following him, and we are fellowshipping with him. We are obeying him, and we are loving him, and we are responding to his love. That is what really matters, and that is what an amazing opportunities we have in this life, is just to follow him, experience him, as we heard Grant say, just enjoy Christ, enjoy his fellowship and his life, enjoy the provisions that he has. There's a verse that I was looking at earlier. It was Hebrews. I'd just like to read it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. Let me just tell you a couple of examples of people that I know this year that just made amazing decisions. There's a friend of mine that was a pastor of a church really for 8 years, and he was serving in that church. He made a huge investment in that church of time. He was leading that church, and this winter, in a conference, God spoke to him, and he said, "Move." And they moved basically to Bible college to get more training, and his whole family, you know, two kids, his wife, they all moved, and they went to Bible college to get some more training that they felt that they needed, but it was really the voice of God. They just picked up and left. It was like 2,000 miles away. I mean, it was a huge thing, but they did it. They did it. God spoke to them, and they left. There's another gentleman, and he and his family also had nothing to do with our ministry. They weren't part of our Greater Grace ministry. They were part of another ministry. But they also, in a meeting in the winter, you know, God spoke to this gentleman. God spoke to this Chinese gentleman, and you know, he goes back home. And I just, you know, it's funny because you just see this, these poor guys, you know, God speaks and they go back to their wives, and they just, you know, "I think God wants me to go to Bible college." And the wife can just see it on his face, you know, that it's real. They can just see that God has touched them. And these wives also, they just hear from God, and they trust God, and they just say, "Okay, let's go." And this guy was not even a part of Greater Grace. He had no history, but God spoke to him. Again, picked up and left, moved his family to another city to go to our Bible college. It's just an amazing thing. There's another family, husband and wife, and they are retired, and they went to a city by faith, wanting to plant a church. And I believe God really led them. I believe God's hand was really on their lives. And then again, you know, God spoke to them and said, "Why don't you just go to, You know, God said, just go to Bible college for a little bit, and then you can go back. And that's what he did. He moved once to the city, you know, with everything that involves. And then God spoke to him about 9 months later. And then what happened? He moves again. And it was because, you know, these people, their security was in the person of Christ. Their security was in God. They were able to make that decision. They were able to just say, you know, I can do, you know, if God is calling me, that's where I want to be. I want to follow Christ. And this is just, you know, an amazing thing. And I just was thinking that one guy, it's like if you're involved with church work, and if maybe you planted a church, what happens if God says move and go to another church or go to another place and start a church? Sometimes that is really hard. You know, because you've invested so much time, you've invested, you know these people, they mean so much to you, and, you know, you're starting to see fruit in a certain place like you've never seen it before. What happens if God says, okay, now you go to another place? It's like, even at that point, your security cannot be the church that you planted. It has to be God. Because God might have something better for you. God might have something more amazing down the road for you. He has an amazing leading. So isn't that interesting? So I just really believe I'm in a room full of disciples, and I know I'm in a room full of people that are followers of Christ. And I think it's just a beautiful thing when we take finances out of the picture. We take, you know, whatever, maybe retirement considerations financially. You take that out of the picture and you just say, is Philippians 4:19 real? Will God supply all your needs or not? I mean, is the promise real or not? And in Matthew 6:33, you know, if you seek the kingdom, will God add these things to you? It's very simple. And of course you will. But a lot of times you won't experience it unless you take that step. You won't experience the amazing riches of those promises if, when the voice goes by, you just kind of overanalyze, you overrationalize, you wait. And, you know, the opportunity goes by. So that is just very simple what I was thinking tonight, and just how our heart needs to be guarded, our mind needs to be guarded, and Christ is our security. Nothing else. Nothing else. We're responsible people. We make responsible decisions. We don't make a decision that is outside the will of God. We don't make presumptive decisions with things that we have in the name of God. These things, of course, we don't do. We're not presumptuous people. But our heart and our mind knows that Christ is our security. God is our security. He is all we need. And when He calls us to do something, we don't have to second guess. We just, Where's my first foot go? You know, and I start moving. And you will not know step 3 or 4. It will probably not be visible to you. You will only know where step 1 is. You will not know, you know, it's behind the curtain. You know, step 3 and 4. You will not know what happens back there. But you will know as you take a step of faith, as you go forward, whatever area God leads you in, and whatever area God speaks to you in, He will show you as you go, and you will experience that amazing freedom that happens when He is your security. Nothing else. So let's have a prayer. Mm-hmm. where there's just no true security outside of you. And you watch over us. You care for us. Your heart is towards us. And Lord, if there's anybody here that has never accepted you before, they've never accepted you as their Savior, they can do that by saying, Lord, come into my heart, save me. Thank you for dying for me, for rising from the grave. Thank you for saving me. And if you've never done that before, take that step and raise your hand. If you've never done that before, if you want to accept Christ as your Savior, raise your hand. And it's the most important decision in your life, to put your eternal security in the hands of Christ. Lord, just thank you for just this amazing body. Thank you for this amazing church. We just thank you for the covering it is, the refuge it is to us. Thank you that we have a place to go to. We have a youth ministry for our kids. We have an amazing body here. And thank you that you've given us this provision. And following you has led us here. In Jesus' name, amen.